Welcome to Truth Transistor Radio.
This is the most awesomest podcast of all time. I'm your host, Rob Hendrick. This podcast is brought to you by Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction.
So, have you had any, like, have you pretty much been on fire since then, or, like, did you have any dark periods of...
Yeah, I mean, I was a good goody-two-shoes. Mm. Yeah.
You went and got into drugs for a while? No, I'm kidding.
No drugs.
Not her.
I guess, and this is why I really don't know if there was, like, a point at which I was saved,
right?
That I can remember, other than high school. I just always had, like, this really strong moral compass, and I just was very conscientious. Like, I knew, mm-hmm. I knew what was right and what was wrong, and
I basically
like refused to compromise. Even as, like, a really little girl, like I just knew what was right and wrong. So I don't know. I mean, obviously everyone has, like, some level of sin in their life.
Yeah,
but.
And likewise, everybody, you know, you must be born again, and this happens at some point, but, you know, sometimes not so dramatic.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I've heard this from, like even our best buddy Basil talked about one time, that he just, like, he almost was like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, because he's like, you know, this brother of mine, you know, he's like, Dad, he went out and he took all his inheritance. He just wasted it all. Mm-hmm. And then he comes back and you're like, let's kill the fatted calf and let's have a party. Like, man, like, I've been good. I've been toiling over here. Like,
right.
You know, and he kind of has that for people like me, because he grew up in church and he has the same kind of, like, I was sort of like born into Christianity, you know, and I bet you he would say too, like, you know, there has to have been a time, but
what I will say though is like the difference with me, because, like, I didn't have any, like, dramatic backstory where I got free from all this, like, baggage of sin and stuff like that. But what I do feel, like, happened to me as I got older, and as I started to read scripture more and, like, understand it for myself, was really, like, you just hit some, like, walls. Because you only believe certain things because you've been taught. You haven't necessarily been taught, like, how to think about stuff. So there's things that, like, you hear over and over and over again growing up in church.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you, I don't know, start to understand it for yourself.
The discernment kicks in.
Did you ever come to a point where you realized, oh, there's different doctrines that I was taught? Was there a point where you started to realize, oh, there's other ways of looking at this?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, there's always that. But, I just remember, like, really getting caught up in, like, churchianity, and a lot of it is just works-based, and you start to, like, understand what Jesus did on the cross, and then you start, like, really seeing the transformation happen in your life, because you're like, oh yeah, it's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. Mm-hmm. And there, like, even being a Christian my whole life, and I said that I had like this strong moral compass, so I always knew stuff was wrong, but like you still have like habitual stuff that like it's right. like a burden that you're not really sure how to shake off. And mm-hmm. and what I found was like when I started like realizing, oh, like Jesus died so that we don't have to be ourselves.
Be good enough for him.
Yeah, like I can't do anything on my own.
Yeah.
Like it has to be Jesus. So like just like understanding the whole idea of like new creature, like when you're saved, you become a new person. And so like all of that stuff that you used to struggle with, you don't have to struggle with. You just surrender to like Jesus, and he does all of the work for you, which is like was like probably the biggest revelation, for lack of a better word, that I found just in my walk with God. Because I remember just, you know, like getting caught up in church and be like, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
And like trying to train myself to like not do certain things or like think certain ways about stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when I just had this understanding, like, oh, Jesus does it for me, it became easy. I'm like, oh yeah, this doesn't have to be hard. And it makes me more excited to present the gospel to other people too, because it's like, it's not this burden of works.
Yeah.
Because Christ has already done all the works.
I think of it as two competing natures, exactly. Like the spirit and the flesh, right? And I've noticed for me, if I'm just watching movies, listening to music, entertainment, you know, not necessarily sin, but if I'm focused on that and I'm not in the Word, I tend to fall into sin more. And if I'm in the Word more consistently, it's not like I'm working. It's more like it becomes part of my life. It becomes more not natural, because that's also not the right word, but like
is it natural if you have a new nature?
That's true. Yeah, I guess so. So like if I'm in the Word consistently and prayer consistently, I find that like I overcome temptation more, you know? So it's like, it's not like I'm working. It's more like, am I renewing my mind right now? Like, am I meditating on the Word of God and in prayer, as opposed to just unfruitful movies and music and sports and things that, you know, it's there's nothing wrong with those things, but like if I'm just obsessed with the Cowboys, first of all, I'm going to be disappointed. But you know,
welcome horns.
So. You know about the horns, and you're from Canada.
Oh, we went to the local IFB church here, and from the pulpit, the guy was like, talking to the different like visitors, you know, and he's like, oh yeah, you're from Austin? Austin, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, he's like, hook 'em horns, and he does like the whole horn thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, did that just happen?
So I was thinking, when you said you didn't remember an exact time where you got saved, it's funny because, well, I think it's more important that you know what you believe now than know how you got there necessarily. But like in the Baptist circles that Mike and I grew up in, it's like very important to know what day did you say the prayer.
Oh yeah. I went, so when I moved to Texas, I lived in like I went to a church in Round Rock, and there was a church there that was like on a directory that was like IFB churches, because I basically, after I was saved, I was like kind of on a journey for truth seeking, and I arrived at the King James only position, and then I just tried to find King James only churches, and so what I found in Round Rock was a King James only church. But you know, I was kind of aware, like you have to settle for IFB, because they're kind of the denomination that still, you know, is very like hardcore about it.
Although there's some crazy people in the IFB movement.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's funny because
that's what I'm saying.
Agree with a lot of their doctrines, but like Steven Anderson, I agree with 99% of what he said, but he's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Great example. It's kind of like, well, I actually asked the pastor about different stuff. We had lunch and stuff, and I told him, like, yeah, I used to listen to Steven Anderson a lot, and he was like, oh, I know that gentleman. he made a lot of noise about my pastor, because he went to Bible college at Hiles Anderson College in Indiana.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like the mothership for IFB. Like that's where you go. That's actually where Anderson went. Before he dropped out, because he was like, he also came to the position where I'm at, where it's like, you know, you don't need to go to Bible college to start a church. You need, you know,
right,
like things that are not just clear, like potentially just I almost said just academic, but like, you know, academia is nice, but like when they teach you how to be a business, that's where it's kind of like I don't know about that one.
Right. So in So in Baptist churches, like that Mike and I grew up in, there's always every Sunday there's an altar call to get it saved. In the Mennonite church, did they have that? Like, did they have the gospel every Sunday and have like nothing like that?
No, they had the occasional altar call. And then, I mean, like later on, when I was, I think, junior high, our family started going to more of a Baptist church in another town. And I'm pretty sure they would do altar calls with like the gospel every Sunday. But that pastor was very like outreach focused. And less focused on his own like church.
Baptists are really into missions.
Yeah.
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 Not for nothing, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give a quick summary of my testimony, I guess. So I was 6 years old, both my parents Christians, when I said the prayer.
But what day was it?
November 1st.
And you had it written down in the Bible.
We were into spiritual birthdays. Now I don't know, like looking back on it, I have a different, like maybe that's not exactly when, but November 1st, 1983 is what I celebrate, because that's when. But I remember we went to another church and watched a play of the life of Christ, and I asked questions, and when I got home I prayed. And like 5 years later, I wondered if I understood anything. So I thought through the gospel and I said the prayer again, and I really wanted to mean it to make sure I was saved.
You got to really mean it.
Yeah. And so that was kind of my, but, and then I think 2007, something challenged my faith, which was Zeitgeist. Have y'all seen that?
Yep.
And I was just like, whoa. So it makes a lot of sense that everything in the Bible would be based on signs of the zodiac, and they made it sound very compelling. So I questioned everything and kind of wanted to walk away, but then I thought, well, I need to make sure. So I asked God, like, if you're real, show me, because otherwise I'm going to live for myself. And that kind of got me on the apologetics bandwagon, that a lot of things that convinced me that the Bible's true. So, you know, that's kind of a quick summary of me, but I think it's interesting to hear people's journey to faith and everything. And so all three of us came from Christian homes then. What about conspiracy stuff? So, like, were y'all aware of that growing up, or was that something you got into later?
Well, I know Jess said she grew up kind of like with some things in the house. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, my dad was like hardcore, just like Fox News watcher, you know?
Right.
So, like, I remember Bill O'Reilly and like Hannity and, you know, and then like, was the one guy? It's the one guy with the gold mic on the radio. You know what I'm talking about? He had that just quintessential voice. He was just like the conservative radio.
Rush Limbaugh?
Rush Limbaugh, oh, yeah. Dude.
I listened to him for years before I was red-pilled.
So, yeah, I remember Rush Limbaugh, like, basically from the cradle. And the only time that I, like, ever heard my dad like kind of like get like, he was always like upset about politics, but the only time I heard him like kind of get upset at like what he was listening to was he was listening to the Michael Savage Show.
Oh yeah.
And because Michael Savage is kind of like low-key conspiracy theorist. Like he delved a little bit into intelligence stuff. And he would, like, kind of go against the conservative, like, the mainline GOP narrative.
Is he more libertarian?
No, he's still, like, very Republican.
Okay.
But he would just kind of, like, break rank for, like he had an interesting, compared to the rest of Republicans, an interesting take on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was still, like, not at all, it wasn't very different. It was just kind of, like, he was very critical of the Bush administration.
Like Glenn Beck, almost, where he gets into conspiratorial stuff.
Well, but he does now, but yeah. I mean, we're not talking really conspiracy theory. We're talking like he was basically kind of like bringing out some facts about like the Bush administration.
Oh, yeah.
So he was sort of being critical against the guy that you were not supposed to be critical against,
right?
Because he's leading us into this war where we can fight the terrorists, you know?
Yeah.
And so I remember, you know, a very pivotal moment in my childhood. I remember where I was on 9/11. I stayed home from school that day.
Yeah.
And me and some friends, like, rode around on bikes, and we had this very confused conversation about, like, we gotta go bomb them, you know? And I remember, it's funny because I talk to people now about politics, and it's almost like I'm talking to kids on bikes again.
Oh, yeah.
But I was that kid on a bike, you know what I mean? So, like, I know. Like, you have this, like, you don't have a fully formed opinion, but you're just kind of, like, saying whatever is, like, emotionally on your mind, you know what I mean? And you're not very articulate. But, talking about like the faith origins, you know, like I have like my baptism certificate. I used it for the, I used it as evidence in the green card, process for Jess. Because we had to prove that, we were Christians to get the, vaccine waiver for the, for immigration. And so, I was baptized in a river, you know, full immersion, you know, and there's a little like bookmark somewhere with, there was like a laminated like carrot that I drew with crayon. And, it said like, you know, like it, like, Michael Jr., received, like asked Christ, asked Jesus into his heart. You know, and I got the date. And then, but yeah, like I actually have a specific memory of just like this really nice lady, just kind of like like with other kids, just like asking me, like, do you want to accept Jesus into your heart? And I was like, yeah. You know, like, I didn't know what it meant. You know, it's just like, I really remember just kind of like repeating these words. And like, you know, so the thing is, like I disparage the whole process of like walking somebody through a prayer,
right?
Because I have this memory, but in all actuality, I don't really know.
Okay.
Right. If I was saved then.
Yeah.
But I believe.
Yeah.
That I was saved when I was like 24,
yeah.
23, because I remember talking about conspiracy theories, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned I like rebelled and stuff. So there was a lot of drugs involved. Mm-hmm. I kind of like wrecked my life mm-hmm. to the point where like I could almost not function. So I moved back in with my parents conveniently, in a roundabout circumstance where they kind of like wanted me to come back because I was like financially able to help them and then take care of my dad, 'cause he was also in bad health at that point.
Mm.
So it was kind of like a win-win-win, you know?
Yeah.
And so I got to like not have to go out to the workplace. I could kind of like decompress and, you know, gather stuff. But around all that time, I was deeply into like Illuminati conspiracy.
What year are we talking stuff. About when?
So this was like right during 2012.
Okay.
So this is when
everybody's talking freaking about 2012 out. And oh, yeah. The Mayan calendar and all that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember specifically going through videos looking for all of my favorite bands, like what symbolism they were doing. And I remember some of the videos that would come up was Vigilant Christian Mario, mm-hmm. Puritan Pictures,
yeah,
and like Round Saturn's Eye, and like KJ Osborne. And I was just like, these guys keep talking about Jesus, and like, I'm I'm not really like I don't understand like so, okay, so somebody thinks that Jesus is maybe like the right way or whatever, but like that was like my parents' religion, you know. I want to see what else is out there. So I looked into Islam,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't last long. I looked into Buddhism and like Taoism and stuff, and that appealed to me because I was kind of like a mystic, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to, like I was actually a thorough New Ager,
mm-hmm.
you know. Like I amalgamated my own religion.
Yeah.
So I remember one day watching like a Chris White documentary. It was called Age of Aquarius, Age of Evil.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember...
I like Chris White.
Yeah. And, like, that one had, like, Scott Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Keith Thompson movie.
Yeah. I like Keith Thompson, yeah.
Yeah, I wish that guy was still around.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the documentary kind of just proved to my mind that, like, the stuff that I came up with, the stuff that I had like tried to like scrape off the internet to like you know what I thought was more truthful, mm-hmm. like you know, it was like I was blazing my own trail. It actually showed me that I wasn't blazing my own trail at all. I was just following in the footsteps of Aleister Crowley.
Oh yeah.
You know, right. Just Blavatsky and everybody else after them, like,
mm-hmm.
you're just trying to amalgamate all the mystery religions.
Yeah.
And that kind of just shattered my whole worldview.
Right.
And so there was basically a little period where I had nothing, like, mm-hmm. like nothing was able to satisfy,
mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like my purpose anymore. Like mm-hmm. none of the drugs worked. None of the meditation worked, you know?
Yeah.
And the guitar didn't work. Like I couldn't amuse myself anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's at that point is where I actually was like crying on my knees, you know,
mm-hmm.
asking Jesus to save me.
Right.
And so that like that's there was just this weird experience where I just like had this burden lift off me and I had joy.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of in my soul, you know.
Right.
Like something clearly had changed, and like ever since then, it was like day after day, it was like I suddenly was like more like perceptive and more like just I immediately just like was a Christian, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it was through the Christian truth movement that sort of, which I think is really healthy, because like obviously there's all these garbage new age truth movements and stuff, but when you start to realize what the, I think even they have this concept of who the evil elites or the Illuminati, but when you start to study what the Illuminati is and what they believe, you realize that they're Luciferian occultists.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was one of the many things that convinced me that the Christianity and the Bible is true, is that the evil elites are the opposite.
Yeah, why do they always, at least if not in secret, in public, mm-hmm. basically want to be like, they basically want to be gods.
They want the tree of knowledge, and they, you know, the Garden of Eden was a prison, and Jehovah's the evil, vindictive God, and all that stuff. Yeah, that was all part of what strengthened my faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so funny on the nose. It's like you couldn't have come up with your own narrative. You mm-hmm. had to just flip Christianity. Like, why Christianity? Why the Bible?
Right.
You know? And it's like they all seem to be going against, or
it's not trying the to opposite of Buddhism or Islam, it's the opposite of Christianity.
Exactly.
So Jessica, when do you remember getting red pilled?
Well, we had some pretty interesting family like dinner discussions when I was growing up. A lot of them like around conspiracy theories. So my dad was like a self-described truther.
Was it like the mainstream, like JFK stuff and
the moon landing?
The moon landing, or was it
Illuminati stuff? I think probably he started with the 9/11 stuff, and then probably I think the moon landing was one of them too, but he just got deeper in the rabbit hole, and we all got to like listen to him process all of this information that he was taking in, and I always found it like super interesting. So I would just sit and listen to him like ramble.
Oh yeah. Did he see like Michael Moore's film or anything?
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Fahrenheit 9/11. That was the first time. That was what introduced me to the conspiracy. But
no, I think he was. I think he found some of the obscure pockets of the internet where he's listening to like podcasts and.
Oh, okay.
He was listening to some YouTube channels, I think, and I don't know. Like he was he worked in like. He was, what is it? It's called a ditch rider in Alberta, but it's like, he worked these like irrigation canals, like opening and closing canals for like farmers
mm-hmm.
based on like the amount of water that they ordered for their crops. Mm-hmm. So I think he would like, we got him like this tiny little iPod, and he would download podcasts on his iPod.
So you're talking like 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
Maybe? I think it was around like 2000. I mean, when did podcasts become a thing?
Like 2006?
2006.
YouTube started around 2005.
So it was around the early days of YouTube and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
when you podcasts. Had to like watch 10-minute videos in part 1 through 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think he figured out how to put it on his like iPod, and then he would process all the information at the dinner table with us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I was like always super into it. Like,
oh, yeah.
I just remember being like, "Whoa, we don't really even know what's going on." But I mean, it like when you're a kid and you're just like processing like adult information, like it's kind of like what Mike was saying earlier. You're the kid on the bike,
yeah,
just like, whoa. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of where I was at.
They hate America.
No, but I think so I went on my own journey, mm-hmm. which is totally a side thing, but when I really started, I think going down the rabbit hole on different conspiracy theories was probably around like 2014, 2015, and I think what brought it on was like I saw that Trump was like he was going for the presidency,
running for president 2015,
running for president in 2015, and I was like, oh, that can't be good. But I mean, I thought that about it.
Were you aware of the false left-right paradigm by that point?
Oh, I mean, yes. Yes and no.
You thought there might be some good, ones?
You have to remember, Rob, in Canada, they don't have a left-right paradigm. They have a controlled, like 8-plus party system where it's all the independent type parties. They all vie for like a percentage point because it's all split between like 17% can win you an election.
Oh well, yeah, that's true.
I mean,
but they mostly care about U.S. politics. Yeah. So,
but in the U.S. politics, were you aware of?
Well, yeah. I mean, I just remember like Trump being this like this guy that you would see being a cameo in all these random like movies and stuff. Like I don't know if you remember like Little Rascals. He was in Little Rascals, Home Alone,
Simpsons.
Yeah.
What blew me away is that he was in professional wrestling for a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I watched those. I was like, this is straight up like just like the presidency.
Yeah.
He's just doing kayfabes. And
exactly.
Yeah, no, I just was like, I don't even know what's going on anymore. And so I think I remember, like, just having a lot of time on my hands. I think I had just been working, like, two different jobs, and then I went down to just one job, and it was, like, it was at Starbucks, so I'd work, like, really early shifts in the morning, and then I'd come home, and I'd have all this time. What will I do with all this time in 2015? Oh, I'm gonna watch some YouTube. And at that time, the algorithms on YouTube were really kind to me.
Yeah, they were dope.
So, I, you know, like, you can just click on some random things and
related videos?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What's that?
And it'll just take you really deep. So I think I remember like, moon landing, MK Ultra, like mind control stuff, like going down that rabbit hole for a little bit. And then you just hop around. I mean, I got really into Flat Earth.
No judgment here.
So I guess I landed on flat, probably, maybe, but also
I'm flat Gnostic.
Flat Gnostic, yeah. There you go. I really want to believe it's flat because it's fun.
Yeah.
But
it is cool to think that it actually is like a snow globe that God sits over.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, it says the heavens will be shaken, you know?
Yeah.
But what if he's shaking it?
Mm-hmm.
Like
a snow globe.
Like a snow globe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm kind of like, I don't know how much it matters, but I'm mostly, I'm probably a glober, but like I'm lean globe, mostly globe, but like.
Mostly globe I'm, geocentric?
I'm, huh?
Mostly globe geocentric?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure that out.
You do understand our Earth language.
Of course. This ultra-speaking machine translates telepathically all languages.
Oh, boy. Science has advanced here much more than on Earth.
Mm-hmm. A typical modern science textbook says that 18 to 20 billion years ago, a giant rock somehow appeared that was rained on by cosmic rains from millions of years. Evolutionary scientists teach that from this rock, supposedly, came all the life on planet Earth.
That's my man throwing down.
Have you been trying to rely on your compliance and science? Or are you might just be aligned with a religious alliance? A fight between denying all your bias defiance and applying what's supplied by an bias eyewitness. Resistance, now why would you deny the existence of Messiah, Jehovah God, the omnipotent, the omnipresent, immaculate, miraculous candidate, fully legitimate, spectacular, infinite. The facts exist, written in texts and passages, explaining evidences with prophetical messages. Resistance to this is senseless, but apparently accepted, deflecting the truth with just defenses, no adequate arguments. It's all irrelevant, embellishments to quiet the conscience. See, we're hypocrites, embarrassed, we want it ourselves. You know we're arrogant, offensive, pretending we're convinced we're accidents.
World-renowned scientist Stephen Hawking commented that present computers are less complex than the brain of an earthworm, a species noted for their intellectual powers. Nobel Prize winner Linus Pauling taught that a single cell, the smallest living unit, is more complicated than New York City.
Have you been making revisions and therefore missing the vision into the wisdom that's predestined and imprinted and given? Decisions that are driven in intended divisions and arisen through temptation from these other dimensions. Attention to all of your souls who might listen. Envision a world without a sinful intention. Express your aggression, direct and positive missions, and loosen your tension by spreading love and affection. Suppressing these blessings, are you invested with legions? Imprisoning deliverance from evil and demons. Believing in lies, you feel rejected and grieving. In need of relief, you want a reason for breathing. A meaning in life, you want a purpose for living. To be born again and never ever forsaken. Accepted by Him and to know you're forgiven. And living eternally, forever in heaven.
Darwinian scientists have attempted to explain the process of evolution as a gradual development that takes place over millions of years. Yet some scientists argue that for the building blocks of life, this is simply impossible. Darwin himself admitted that if it could be demonstrated that any complex organ existed which could not possibly have been formed by numerous successive slight modifications, my theory would absolutely break down. Through the 20th century, the complexity of living organisms has revealed itself to be far greater than Darwin ever imagined.
But, like, I appreciate anybody who thinks outside the box.
Yeah.
Anytime, like, it's always good to not believe, because I was already aware of evolution being a lie, but I'm pretty convinced it is.
You know what? For me, that was like one of the early things that I like. I saw in the algorithms. I was like, I watched like one video that had like Kent Hovind clips, and I was like, "What is this from?"
Mm. Yeah.
And for me, it was like, I mean, I already kind of was like, I just like already just like, oh, they're so you mean evolution's not a fact?
Right.
And I was like, oh, this makes sense. The Bible's pretty clear.
It's yeah.
That
6 days
made Adam, you know,
yeah,
created the world, you know. So like when I realized that this is viable, like I watched the whole Kent Hovind series like basically like all in one, like not one sitting, but right. You know, like one period, and I was just blown away.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably, as far as my family goes, there wasn't, I never heard about the Illuminati until YouTube, or maybe, I don't remember when, but in the 2000s, mm-hmm. but as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents were not really, they're still not conspiracy people, but there were a few little things in there. Like they said, they teach evolution in public school and we don't, you know, obviously don't believe that. Mm-hmm. I also remember my aunt going way back to being opposed to like a lot of pharmaceuticals and being into natural cures and all that, organic and all that stuff. And I also remember as a kid, my parents telling me that, news on television is garbage. So there was some of that way back in the 80s and 90s, or 80s as a kid hearing that. But, I think for me, the connection, I got really into end times prophecy back in as a teenager. Hmm. And I would read Revelation a lot and stuff. And it really didn't hit me that it could be now until I was listening to Irving Baxter, which I don't agree with a lot of his stuff. But he was the one that was like, we're in the end times now. And believe it or not, I'm sure there were others saying that. But like, I was like, open to it for the first time. And then I also listened to Coast AM, and it was more entertainment for me than anything. Are you familiar with Coast to Coast?
Mm-hmm.
And back when I was early 20s, didn't have a lot going on, I could stay up late and listen. And then when I started hearing Kent Hovind and Alex Jones and some others where it was connecting, all of a sudden I realized there is a global conspiracy. Even though those people I mentioned I reject now for different reasons. But there was a lot of truth in those things. So it was around 2006, 7, 8, right in there where I started to actually think, wait a second. At first I'm thinking the Illuminati stuff is interesting, but I didn't necessarily believe it. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, but I was like, I was already aware that there's an Antichrist that will take over the whole world. And so I was always open to it. But for some reason, I would talk to other church people about it if I was brave enough. And they would all kind of like, oh, that's weird. But
yeah.
The more I've studied it, the more convinced I've gotten. And now I'm pretty much 100%, I'll say 99% sure that there is a global conspiracy and the Antichrist system is being set up. So,
Yeah.
So to me, it was end times prophecy connected with conspiracy stuff. And then there was a period in time, like you said, Jessica, with the algorithms and you can access anything on YouTube. You have to weed through so much garbage and disinformation. Oh, yeah. And that was frustrating to me. And
I swear if I see another Nibiru Planet X video.
There were several things I was frustrated by. I was frustrated by, obviously, the New Age side of conspiracy stuff. I was frustrated with the clickbait type. Where you could tell it was more about making money. Like they would basically every vigilant Christian who I liked, but at the same time, it seemed like he would, whatever was the viral topic of the day is what he would talk about.
Yeah. He was compelling at first.
Yeah.
And then he slowly became more about the money.
Yeah. And I want to believe that he really, confess those, like he seemed to be open about his mistakes and stuff. I want to think.
Well, now that, he's too open.
Yeah. I haven't heard much from him in a while, but.
Well, I say that. There was a couple years ago, there was a period where his emergence online would be based on him basically like confessing to the internet, like, oh, I let you down. I did all these terrible things, and they would be truly horrible things.
Right.
And now then he would cry, and then it would be this.
Was that because he was losing, because all that was exposed already, or was he really sorry about it?
I think he really just liked the attention.
And, maybe so.
And, you know, he'd messed himself up with drugs.
Yeah.
So his channel always confused me because I saw maybe like two good videos of his.
Uh-huh.
And like when I actually like came across him, he was already in his like crying phase. And so I was like, this guy is always crying. Why does he have a YouTube channel?
You missed several crazy years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was funny is there was a period where he started getting his local friends involved in like his channel. He created another channel called The Godly Bros.
I never saw that.
Oh, it was really, if it's locatable, it's actually I bet you it's really funny to watch again.
Yeah. I think one of the things that motivated me to do this podcast is that I was frustrated with all the disinformation and the clickbait type stuff. Mm. And I mean, obviously there's good stuff out there, but I wanted to like promote the good stuff, you know, like even in the Christian world, you know, there's like people that talk prophecy, but say all kinds of weird things in the Christian world, like the, you know, false prophets and the blood moons and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's another thing is books. You get off the internet, you go to books, and every year there's some prophecy book about how Jesus is about to come back and
yeah.
Look at the signs and the blood moons and the eclipses and all this stuff. And I always was very I became very skeptical of everybody, which is, I think, a healthy thing.
Yeah.
And when I said that prayer, God show me, because otherwise I'm going to live for myself, I think I also prayed, this was after Zeitgeist, I also prayed that he would show me, if the Bible's true, also show me, like, give me discernment on the truth stuff and all that.
Yeah.
And I think it was really, because at first I thought Bill Cooper was saying the same thing as Jordan Maxwell and Zeitgeist. But really what he was doing is he was reading verbatim and then telling, and he would say over and over again, this is not what I believe, it's what they believe. And then it clicked. Because you listen to David Icke or Jordan Maxwell, they're actually saying Luciferian doctrine as if it's true.
Right.
Or Zeitgeist, right? And they come across as truthers, but really they're just promoting what the Illuminati believes. And so with Bill Cooper, I started, when that clicked in my head, I realized, oh, he's actually telling us this is what the Illuminati believes. And then I was like, it started to make sense. Now, I don't agree with everything Bill Cooper says, or even what he says he believes, but that was probably the main guy. And Kent Hovind, which I said, I think he's a bad person. But I think most of what he said, I agree with. He's not
finishing well, I'll say that.
Yeah, most of what Kent Hovind said, I agreed with, where he talked about evolution being actually from the Luciferian doctrine. And then he talked about the Illuminati and end times and all that. And I really liked that. But it's just sad that it turns out he's like a narcissist that abuses people. So, but anyway, like, yeah, just, I think that prayer of wanting to know if the Bible's true, I think I also asked, like, what has helped me have discernment on conspiracy stuff. And then the Bible's been my guide because Bible prophecy says a whole lot. And when I start to connect that, it really fits, and it seems to make a lot of sense. And I'm sure you guys feel the same way about Bible prophecy and conspiracy stuff and how it could be coming to shape now.
Yeah, I think there's more, like, out there now, though, that's, like, more on what you're saying about, like, the books that are written, like, you know, right around the corner and stuff.
Yeah.
I think most of what dominated, like, from the 70s and onward is, like, the imminent return of Jesus doctrine, the imminency, like, that sort of stuff, like, prevails now to this extreme degree where, like, now it's offensive to say Christ is king, you know, because you're basically you're saying something against Israel, basically, right?
Oh, right.
And so this is all this, this is the current controversy as we're recording this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
there's a lot of, like, on the other hand, though, there's now just, like, a wealth of, like, all different kinds of views of eschatology that are popular, you know, so there's, like, the mainstream that's still very mainstream, where it's almost the default, and then there's, like, all these other views, you know.
Yeah. Seems like more people are at least, not necessarily in a good way, but, like, 20 years ago, I hardly knew anybody that, if you brought up Illuminati, people would just look at you funny. But in the last 5-10 years, it's like, you mentioned Illuminati, and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, those people. But they don't really, like, take it seriously, but at the same time,
it's still open a joke, to it. Yeah.
They're kind of open to it, but, like, yeah. But,
they're more open about aliens.
Yeah. I think the pandemic and the lockdowns had a dual effect. There were some people that it strengthened their faith, and it, or it may have woken them up, not in a bad way, not like woke, but like,
well,
but then there's the other side that it became, they became more, or they, a lot of Christians, quote unquote Christians, that fell away from the faith became agnostics. The whole LGBT thing went on to steroids. At that time, like around that time,
it just literally like, on steroids.
Yeah, it seems like it. The lockdowns did a whole lot where all of us, oh, and a lot of people that went to church all of a sudden weren't going to church and they just stopped going because they got used to staying. They said, oh, I'll just listen to it on Zoom.
Oh, the live stream, yeah.
Or, and then they would stop that altogether too, but like, yeah. It did a whole lot. And for me, it was like I was hearing all of these conspiracy things, even from Christians saying this is about to happen. Even on the Canary Cry forum, people would say they're going to shut down the internet. and
oh, I wish they would.
all the things that they that people would talk about on the message. It wasn't that I, you know, obviously I'm open to anything, but it's like I take... Where are they getting this information from? Because I hear it all the time. 2012, the blood moons in 2015.
The EMP.
Y2K, way back before I was really into that. But, like, there's always something about to happen.
Mm.
But when the lockdowns happened, I was like, now this is serious. And it's, like, all over the world. And it's, like, a precursor to global control, you know? And,
I kept asking myself, is this the one? You know, is this the big one?
Yeah. And you mentioned Trump earlier, and I think at least I think you all agree that he's a candidate for the Antichrist.
He's in the race, yeah.
Yeah. And to me, because I have this friend named, well, I won't mention his name, because he might hear this. I don't think he ever listens, but he was convinced Obama's the Antichrist.
I mean, a lot of people.
And then he became convinced that Trump. Hey,
he also is in the running.
Yeah,
because he's technically still president, and if he has a wife,
Obama. Oh, because he runs Biden.
That could run again, or that could run in his stead. And then he would be back in the White House for 2 more terms, if possible.
Didn't Obama say something about, like...
Oh, if I could be...
It would be somebody else, but I would...
I would speak from the basement, yeah.
And now Biden is, like, pajamas. Not really there.
Well, fellow Americans.
But,
No.
But he was, like, convinced Obama's the Antichrist, and I was just like, oh, maybe. You know, I was just, like, open to it. But he was like, no, he is, and he would get mad at me if I didn't agree with him. And then... Trump became president. Well, before Trump became president, I mentioned, I think, a Simpsons episode where in the future, Trump becomes president.
Oh, yeah. And then he collapses the financial system.
Yeah. And then, what's her name? Lisa becomes president. which is funny. And I mentioned that to him, and I said, predictive programming, he might become president. And he's like, no, man, there's not going to be another election. Obama's the AC, and that's it. Well, he becomes president. And then within months, he's like, oh, he's the Antichrist. And to this day, he's convinced Trump is. Now, for me, it was like, it wasn't until the Abraham Accords that I was like, that was the event that I was like, okay.
Well, I was from the beginning, I like saw a lot of like stuff about Trump, like during the race. Mm-hmm. I still like, you know, kind of was like, you know, you root on like the seemingly good guy, even though, you know, like, so what I was noticing the whole time is that there was a lot of, like, I saw the division happening. Well, he wasn't taken seriously at the first election, but I saw a lot of placation to Catholicism. I saw a lot of, so, like, you know, Fordham University is where he went to school. He was a Jesuit, basically. Mm-hmm. And I remember this speech that they do. They kind of have, like, this roast at the Catholic Church after somebody wins the election. So it was like the Archbishop of New York and Hillary's there, and they're kind of like roasting her, you know, they're roasting each other. And then Trump stands up and he's like, and we will fight against anti-Catholic bias.
Oh gosh.
And outright. And, you know, and it was like, that was a weird thing to say.
Right.
Like what anti-Catholic, so it kind of goes to Hillary because, like, she's obviously pro-choice, pro-abortion, and, you know, Trump was trying to kind of, like, placate, like, he was pro-life.
Right.
He still kind of isn't, you know? Yeah. But
people think, well, he put in a pro-life judge or whatever. And maybe that was just to help strengthen his popularity with the conservatives. But
the jury's out on that one.
Yeah,
because they didn't come through on a very, I can't remember exactly what it was. There was like two different things. Well, for one, it was like the Brett Kavanaugh guy that was supposed to be the ace in the hole for the shutting down the Obamacare. He didn't come through. He was like the voice, the opinion. So his opinion of like for against constitutionality could have like prevented Obamacare from staying, like the structure of Obamacare basically being a form of communism, you know, like he could have prevented this, and he did not dissent. So like it stayed basically it now the healthcare system that we have is constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Trump got the mandate taken away, and then Biden brought it back.
Right.
Somehow it's still not in effect, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the jury is out on the Supreme Court, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, right. The way it is now. Like, oh, you think that undoing Roe v. Wade actually will strengthen abortion later?
It could. Or something? I mean, there are certain states where they have basically enshrined it as a human right, like they did in France.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think overall, probably less babies are killed right now.
Yeah.
Because of it. So, you know, I'm happy about it.
Yeah. I know a lot of Christians who were now less, but it seemed like 5 years ago, a lot of Christians were very pro-Trump. And I never bought into them because I was already, I was a Ron Paul guy.
Yeah, me too.
From 08 and 2012. And I still think just about everything he says, I agree with. Not because he says it, but it, but you know, like,
it's very logical.
Yeah. And Trump is not the same message at all. Like, if Ron Paul's message was less government and give the power to the people, Trump's message is less government and give the power to him. Like, he's the one that will solve our problems, right?
Yeah.
And that's the problem with, like, he even said recently, he said he will give the power back to the church. And I was thinking,
oh, the Johnson Amendment stuff.
Yeah, I was like, who's I didn't know it was his power to give.
And well, he's speaking for the government, right? Because the government took the power from the churches with the 501c3 tax status.
I mean, you could look at it that way, I guess, but my thinking is that our power is from the Holy Spirit, so yeah. From God. So it's like, we don't need them, but I understand.
Obama said, you didn't build that business, you know, the government did. Because, you know, we got you the roads, we got you this.
But his whole attitude and message seems to be very, I will solve your problems.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
end the war in Ukraine. First day, straight away.
Yeah.
I'll end the war.
I think in the United Nations meeting.
Make a deal.
He said he's accomplished more than any president in the history of the United States. He's a boastful little horn, or Trump. He's a boastful Trump.
Yes.
He's more, there's a verse.
The final Trump.
There's a verse somewhere that says he's more stoutly than his fellows, which if you think about it, he's a big guy. He's bigger than most other politicians.
Huh.
Most, you know, I don't know if that is what it's talking about, but he's a boastful person. He's more stoutly than most. He's a peacemaker, quote unquote peacemaker.
You know, a lot of people have seen the Catholic Church as maybe the Antichrist is like the church is the Antichrist like system, you know,
mm-hmm.
And or that the Pope is, you know, the Antichrist, and he's just like succeeded by other Antichrists, you know.
Oh yeah.
So like the one thing is that they I've heard people say like that the the bringing of the Protestant Reformation sort of like it was like the moral head wound, and then the you know, the Catholic Church coming back, like that's now the Antichrist, you know. And so like it a lot of people are very like open to the idea that it's not a literal like head wound, that it's like something so like bludgeoning, you know, and it's like symbolism, you know. And so like the Trump losing the election, you know, and then he wins the next election.
Yeah.
You know, despite all the cheating that they both do.
Right. Yeah. I have an interesting theory about the Protestant movement. So like, I think anytime there's something good happening, grassroots or even from God, Satan has a mimicry of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he hijacks and has his wolves in sheep's clothing. I heard, I think Bill Cooper said, and I don't know if this is true or not, I haven't confirmed this, but Martin Luther was a Rosicrucian, apparently.
He might be getting that from some of the, like, the rose imagery in, like, some, like, sculptures or something.
Yeah.
No, I think he was just he was a friar, man.
A friar.
He was a Catholic guy that he was basically a celibate, and then he gets hitched with some like ugly nun. His words.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I guess there's a story where they like she like escaped the nunnery like in a barrel, like like Lord of the Rings style.
Yeah, I think that the Protestant movement has a lot of. There's a lot of like bad doctrines even within the Protestant movement, but I think that the best thing to me about it is the encouragement of getting Bibles and encouraging people to read it themselves.
Yeah.
And
well, like Tyndale, you know, we want the plowboy to know more in the scriptures than the priest, you know.
Right. Today there's less excuse to be deceived by heresy than there was 1,000 years ago, because 1,000 years ago most people didn't have access to a Bible.
Well, you think about it this way though, they didn't have access to a complete Bible. They might have, you know, imagine what your life would be like if you didn't have Romans. Imagine if all you had was for First Thessalonians.
Yeah,
like that's great, true. But I need a little more, you know. But now we have too much information.
Right.
Now people are thrown into, like, people don't believe in just the Bible. They believe in, like, plus Book of Adam and Eve.
Right.
Oh, this is interesting. This is Noah goes to Europe. Cool.
Yeah. Jesus went to India.
Yeah.
And got
the Gospel of Mary Magdalene.
Oh, gosh. Ooh. Isn't it Judas?
Oh, yeah, the Gospel of Judas.
Where he basically tells Judas a secret that he's really not Christ or something like that.
There's all kinds of great. Yeah. The Gospel of Thomas is my favorite. Oh, yeah. To go to heaven, you must become a woman. Yeah. Or, you know, no, woman, you must become a man.
That's right.
I must be transgender.
Oh, yeah. Sheesh. Yeah, I mean, I guess we do have more now, but we also have more bad too.
Exactly. Like,
but
it's you know, in those days they'll be running to and fro, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge will increase.
Yeah, but to me it's like, well, something like the prosperity gospel is an example where people have the Bible. How do they get deceived by something like that? Or,
well, they just shake it like a prop. They don't really read it, for one. But
yeah. Well, this is I didn't really have to plan this podcast because this is a normal conversation that I have with Mike and Jess whenever I see them. So it just made itself. And let's see, we're at 2 hours, past 2 hours.
Already, dude.
So thank you all for letting me interview you.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun, and I always enjoy talking to y'all because we could probably do a 10-hour podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep talking. In fact, when we weren't recording, we were talking about stuff. I was like, man, this should be on the podcast. But it's like,
stop talking.
It's exactly. Like,
wait for the podcast.
Now that we're recording, we could just have a normal conversation.
Yeah, now I can tell you the real secret teachings.
Yeah, the secret teachings.
Of all ages.
Oh, gosh. I have that book.
No.
Should I burn it? I have it just as a resource.
I would stick with the digital copy.
Okay. Maybe I should. Well, all right. Thank you all, and have a wonderful day.
Peace.
This is the most awesomest podcast of all time. I'm your host, Rob Hendrick. This podcast is brought to you by Proverbs 16:18. Rob goes before instructions.